Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise jumping in live. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. I am pumped to be on with an absolute legend today. I got the man, Mr. Joshua Smith, that has jumped on. Joshua has sold over $1 billion in real estate in his career, did over 650 transactions in 2017, and I can assure you, based on my past experiences, this guy is going to drop some serious fire on you guys. Hopefully, you're able to walk away with something that you could take and implement in your business. Josh, man, thanks for jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, man. Stoked to be here. This is an honor, dude. It's nice to flip the role, man. You were on my podcast, yes. Killed it, and dropped so much amazing content about a year ago. So it's nice to switch.
That was a year ago, wasn't it, man? That's crazy how fast time flies. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Why don't we start, I know you're very well known in the industry, but why don't you give everybody a little backstory? You know, who are you? How's the business treated you? You know, where did you come from?
Yeah, dude. So, just like most things in my life, and you and I, obviously we're friends outside of, just all this stuff on a private level, and we have these conversations. But yeah, dude, just like in your journey, man, like all this shit just kind of happened on accident. None of it was intentional, right? I grew up in the health club business. My father owned and operated gyms for 30 years. I always thought that was my path. That was where I was gonna go. I was 23 years old though. College dropout, like $1,000 to my name. I was a sales manager at a gym, and I wanted to go out, but that at a young age, at 23 years old, I realized, dude, I got to get into ownership. If I want to go out there and create what I want to create, like every fucking time, dude, I would maximize my, commissions or what, cause dude, I love sales. I'm a workhorse. Like I'd outsell anybody, right? In that space, or at least the gyms that I was with. And I loved it, right? But every time you get to that limit, they restructure where you could only make so much money. And I'm like, screw this, man. I got to go out there and operate my own facility. Plus, as a young kid, dude, like you always think, like you could do it better. And now that I'm older and reflect on these, and I actually, been an entrepreneur for 13 years, I'm like, all right, dude, like some of the things that they did that bugged me, I get more now. But at the time, dude, the facility I wanted to go out there and create would have cost it was going to be $800,000. Bad credit, $1,000 to my name. I wasn't smart with money at that time. And I couldn't get a loan. So I was like, all right, I just got to bank cash. I just got to go out there and figure out a way to raise the capital. Well, it's 2005, Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, right. The market's just on fire. Everybody that I knew that was in real estate was just slaying it. So I'm like, fuck it. I'll get in real estate, just go out there. Stack some cash, raise some capital, hit this hard for 3-4 years, raise that money. I don't need to sleep. I don't need to eat. At the time I wasn't married, didn't have kids. So I'm like, screw it. Right. So let's just do this. So 2005, got into business and killed it, dude. First year did 48 deals, made $280,000. Price points were great at that time. And, by end of my first year, I hit a capacity. Now, luckily, one thing that was a blessing for me is growing up and watching my father in the gym business, seeing back in operations, right? And then after my father sold the gyms when I was 18 and ready for graduated high school and retired, the facility I went and worked for, I did pre-sales for them, right? So I would literally be sitting in a trailer while the gym was doing all the TIs and getting built out, sell the memberships, right? And you get to the point, okay, the gym's open, right? You get to a threshold where, okay, then I can bring on my first admin, my front desk staff, right? So I'm still doing the sales, and eventually I bring on a sales guy. Now I develop the sales team and, get that shop operational, and then bam, go on to the next. And so I'd never done a real estate, but I'd done this, and helped my dad. My dad opened up several facilities. So I'd done this really my whole entire working life. So it was a very easy transition when I'm working for him to midnight. First, again, you got to understand this is 2005. So when you hear 4 deals a month, 48 deals a year, you're like, that's not that much. But dude, the capacity then, dude, there was no scanners. We were using our Razor flip phones. There was no Facebook. There was no YouTube, right? So the capacity was lower. So hired my first assistant. And then after about 6 months, I hired my first assistant, man. I just started racking up buyer's agents and And that's when I really fell in love with the business, right? I love this industry. I love real estate. But do I love sitting across from a home seller, having them argue that their home is worth 25 grand more than every single comparable on God's green earth shows them? You know, I mean, it's a challenge, and it can be, there's fun components of it, but what I love about the industry isn't working with the consumer, right? It's the opportunities, the impact we can have on so many people's lives. And it was when I started my team that I really became obsessed with the industry. I always say that health clubs was my passion. Real estate very quickly became my obsession because I realized if I could bring all the things I brought in the health club industry of teaching people to live a healthy lifestyle and taking care of themselves in that aspect. But now I could teach them how to go out there and build true wealth in their life. And just absolutely fell in love with the real estate industry. And shit, dude, here we are. I never thought I'd be here still, but here we are 13 years later. And but I'm back in the health and fitness space now, just like you. You know, I've got a lot of different things going on. I actually just started my ninth company, just signed the operations agreement on that. So we're in a lot of different spaces, but still going strong at real estate, dude.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we were talking just before we got recording, and you were saying, you know, you guys closed over 650 deals last year. Is that right? 2017?
653. Yep.
653. That's sick. And you're a Wall Street top 30. Is that right?
Yep.
That's awesome. Awesome. Congrats. How do you make the transition? I know that it's not just like one big thing. Everybody always says, you know, what was the one thing? Well, it wasn't one thing, and it was a lot of little things, but walk me through this progression. How do you go? And I think so many agents need to understand this. Like, you know, there's a lot of agents out there maybe doing 5 deals a month, 60 deals a year, doing 40 deals a year, but they're working 80, 120 hours a week trying to figure out, like, how on earth do I come down from this? How do I make this transition? So, like, what would you say were some of the high value points that you could probably bring up from going, you know, 48 deals a year and going to 653 deals a year, and then, you know, 9 companies? Like,
yeah, dude, it's gnarly. For sure. And I'll walk you through it, and I can walk you through, you know, what to do and some of the mistakes to avoid too there. You know, but just to put some context in this too, you guys, like, I don't even work 30 minutes a month in my real estate business, right? I mean, I have a 15-minute huddle with my CEO, really, who runs operations, a month, and then I'm reviewing my financials once a month. That's about my overall involvement. Now, it took a lot of years to hustle. I mean, it took insane amount of hustle to go out there and create this. Now, knowing what I know now, I truly believe it's theory, but I truly believe I could have done it half the time. You know, it took me about 8 years to fully step out of production and you know, get to the point where I guess at that point I was more of a CEO. Now I'm not even a CEO. I've realized, which sounds bad, but I've realized I'm a very shitty CEO, right? Like, I'm a very good board member, but I'm a shitty CEO. So, like, I don't even want to be the CEO of my own companies, right? I realize that I'm, you know, the biggest problem. I get involved as long as I need to, and then I got to get the hell out, because that's how I operate companies in the best manner. Because I'm really emotional, right? And do things that a great CEO probably shouldn't do. So it took time, you know, right? But here's the cool thing about this is, you know, like, you talk to, and I don't want anybody to take this as me bragging or I mean, that's not my style at all, right? I'm far from arrogant. But I got paid on 653 transactions last year, right? So it gets to the point, if you do this right, and here's what I love about real estate, if you do this right, it's like owning a bunch of apartment buildings. It's passive income, right? Every time now we bring on an agent, you know, I brought on 3 new agents last week to my team. When I say I brought them on, I have a full-time recruiter. I'm a real estate team, not a brokerage, you know, but we're set up like a brokerage inside of a brokerage almost, right? But, you know, I've got a recruiter that brings them in. We've got a trained department. Everything happens. I know less people inside my organization than I know. And it really just becomes this machine, this monster that spits out passive income. Now I've got a sellable product. And something that creates passive income that gives back to me. So for me as an entrepreneur, I want to go out there and I'll put as much blood, sweat, tears, time, energy, effort into something that I possibly can, but it's got to give back to me at some point, you know, right? If I got to keep trading time for dollars or you know, whatever, it just isn't going to make sense, right? And if you do this and you do this right, and you're willing to put in the work, man, that the time and the lifestyle and just the opportunities it can create for you is insane. So when it, and this holds true to all businesses, right? So You've got your processes, right? So all business, and I'm just going to go through these different components. You've got processes. So first off, you got to identify and dial in world-class processes inside your business. So a process is just a step-by-step action step to get you the result that you want, right? And then, so your mastery of your processes. This is how I go out there and you know, okay, I get a phone call from a listing lead. You're right. Maybe I'm, you know, in Grant's amazing Facebook program, and I'm generating, you know, 50 seller leads every single day. And I get a seller that calls me up that's like, hey, man, I want you to come list my house. Or I want to process, okay, here's the exact questions that I'm going to ask. Then here's exactly how I'm going to prepare for that appointment. Here's the exact time I show up. Here's exactly how I knock on the door. Here's how I introduce myself. Here's how I do my listing presentation, right? It's your proven step-by-step action steps to get the results that you want to go out there and get. And most real estate agents don't even take the time to master their own damn processes inside their business. And this is why we're, you know, in this shit show industry. You know, it's funny because everybody's always like, oh, these discounters, whatever. I'm like, dude, the only threat to real estate agents and the extinction of real estate agents is freaking real estate agents. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you and I, like, we're having the digital marketing game. And like, dude, you don't have people taking that stuff lackadaisically. And, you know, right there, there's just so much. There's such an abundance of that in real estate. So number one, you got to master the processes for the whole entire sales funnel. So, right. So you got your activities, right? Which activities exist to generate leads. Leads exist to go out there and set an appointment. Appointment set to conduct the appointment. Conduction to client. Client to under contract escrow. That then becomes past client repeat. So you got to master your processes and identify your process for each one of those areas. Then you got to build systems around those processes, right? And systems is nothing but a freaking checklist, right? So I look at this as a cookbook, right? So the cookbook is the system. But if I want to go cook a meal tonight, I fast forward to this recipe. Inside that the recipe is the process. And I don't cook, dude, you know, right? But if I get a proven cookbook and I follow that recipe, that process to a T, I'm going to cook a badass meal. And then here's the cool thing. Maybe I'm just cooking it for my wife and I. Cool. Maybe it's, you know, I think it's like Easter coming up, right? Or you know, maybe Easter Sunday, we're not having to get together. But let's just say I had 15 people where I can easily scale that meal up and duplicate that same thing. So systems and processes ensure that things don't get missed. Things are duplicated. You're going to develop the right habits internally. And you as an entrepreneur and as a real estate agent, but then eventually allow this stuff to be, again, duplicated and delegated out. So you got to have your processes, right? Then your systems built around these processes. And dude, this is the unsexy stuff, right? That nobody wants to talk about.
Right.
You know, right? Guys like you and I, because we understand the importance and we're freaks about it, right? Like you and I will sit behind a freaking computer and build out spreadsheets for 18 hours and get off by doing it. did you see the new Think and Grow Rich movie?
No, I keep seeing the ads for it, though. I gotta check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? I mean, it's really, dude, it's nothing different than the book. It just has all these, you know, guys like Lewis Howes and Darren Hardy, all these, you know, successful people, they talk about their favorite stories in the book and giving their advice. And Rob Dyrdek, who's a badass, right? And he comes on there.
Badass business guy too.
Yeah. I mean, he's worth several hundred million, right? So he comes on there and he's like, dude, if you had to like draw the line in the sand and come up with like the biggest defining factor between those that create success and those that don't create success obsess over the things that success brings them. So the cars, the house, the fancy clothes, all the shit it's going to get you. Those that create success and truly go out there and become successful obsess of the things that generate the success, right? So the processes, the systems, the, you know, right? You know, the lead gen, the lead follow-up, right? Like everyone wants the commission check, like, you know, right? But the reality is, dude, is, and I'm not trying to... I shouldn't say I'm not trying to be arrogant or cocky. This is going to come off that way. So it is what it is. But I just do. I know you and I know me. You know, I was up till 3 a.m. last night. I'm out for 6 hours, right? Doing some new, you know, new Facebook marketing and some new digital marketing. I just bought. Just dial, you know, like we just become obsessed with mastering our craft, right? All right. So you got your process and your systems, and you got to get this down. I don't care if you want to be a single agent. Or if you want to go out there and expand, have a team, I hope to God that all of you that are listening on this see the value of creating a team, right? Because if you don't, you're always going to have a job for the rest of your life. If you stop, it stops. You're going to pigeonhole yourself and have a high-paying job for the rest of your life. And that's what you want to do okay, that's okay. Like, there's no judgment here. But for me, like, I want to go out there, and again, I want to create something that allows me to go out there and live the life that I want to live. And then, dude, if I want to go out there and sell, I can sell, but I don't have to, I'm not selling because I have to sell, right? Then from there, and this is really part of your systems, but you've got to track, right? You've got to know your numbers intimately. And I call this, you know, the front end and the back end. So like, what am I tracking in my real estate business, right? I'm tracking my leads per lead source. So I know exactly how many leads per lead source. Of course, I'm tracking the back end. So I know my cost per lead, my cost per acquisition, and all those things with the client. So I'm tracking my leads per lead source. I'm tracking my reach outs. I'm tracking my conversations, my appointments set, my appointment conductions, my clients, and my closings. So that's on the front end, right? And here's what's cool about this is it creates predictability inside your business. So like, you know, I don't get the results that Grant does on Facebook, right? I mean, I get good results, but not like Grant does. But like for me, here's my results on Facebook. One closing per 85 leads, right? So it's a 1.2 overall percent conversion ratio. Now my average lead though is $3.30 a lead. So we're like at a 248 overall acquisition. My average commission from that acquires from my Facebook leads, and I'm in a lower price point, especially on our Facebook leads, but it's $6,005. So, you know, for every, you know, $240 I stick in the ATM, I get $6,005 back, right? But I know my numbers intimately. I know exactly how many leads, how many conversations, how many appointments set. I know what that should be to create predictability in my business. So I want to go do out there. My goal this year is 1,000 transactions inside my real estate team for 2018, right? Maybe we hit it. Maybe we don't. We're actually behind right now. But if we don't hit it, it is not a, oh shit, we didn't know what to do. It was, we didn't pull off what needed to be done. But I know exactly, like I know I got my 5-year vision. I know exactly what must happen every single day right now to make my 5-year vision a reality. So you got to track the front end. And of course you got to track the back end, the financials, right? So you got to pay attention to all of that stuff, which, you know, very few people do inside this business, but you've got to do it. So this creates predictability in you, but then also as you grow and you expand, you need to know if your people are winning or losing. Right, so like I go the ISA route inside my team. So I have ISAs. Well, I need to know what to expect. They need to know what to expect. Right, like my ISA's minimum is 12,000 dials every single month, 3,900 text messages. Right, that's 1,020 conversations. That equates to 14 closings based on our compensation plan. Like I, you know, we've got it down to a science of what this looks like, and then I can inspect what I expect on a daily basis. So a lot of people are like, oh, dude, I don't want to go out there and, you have these large teams, you know, with everything I have going on today, with all my companies, and this includes independent contractors that work directly for me, but I have like over 200 people that work for me at this point. I don't have any management headaches, right? Because I'm a systems, processes, and tracking freak, right? I build out the systems. The systems manage the people and keep the people accountable. I manage the systems. I just check the systems every single day, right? Everybody knows inside my business what it takes to win or lose every single day. They're accountable to the systems every single day, and they know the consequences if they don't hit their numbers, right? So here's an example with let's just say you're an individual agent, right? To go out there and get good results as a real estate agent, you should be at 75% of your appointment set to appointment conduction ratio, right? And then you got to know what these mean. Like if you are below a 75% appointment set to appointment conduction ratio, I know it means you're either not selling the value of the appointment, you're booking the appointment out too far, or you're not confirming it correctly. So one of those three things, right? Then from there, you want to have a 75% or greater. You know, if you're a big producer, of course, it's going to be greater, but 75% or greater of appointment conduction to client sign ratio, then a 35% client signed to closing ratio. So overall, what I always want to see and where I get, like where I need to be to get a decent ROI, a good ROI on my agent. This isn't, you know, world class, but this is a good badass agent, is a 20% appointment set to closing ratio. So one, 5 appointments set to 1 closing, you hit those ratios, you know, but if you're tracking your numbers, then you know. It's like if your numbers are down, your closings are down. And this is what most real estate agents do. Like, oh, dude, I think I need a coach. Or I think I need some help. I'm like, well, what do you need help with? They have no idea where they need the help. Yeah, right? Like, I'm not saying no, I'm improving on all of them, but you got to be able to identify, hey, like, what is the one thing I can do inside my business right now that will have the biggest impact that will go out there and help my, you know, help my business grow? So it was like a dude the other day that I'm in Lewis Howe's, you know, private mastermind webinar deal. And there's a dude in there that was talking about you know, his finals webinar didn't go the way that he wanted it to go. And he's, you know, he's breaking down every element of it. He's trying to recreate all of it. Well, I instantaneously, dude, his landing page was a 1.8% conversion ratio, right? So I gave him an example of mine that was, you know, in webinars, you convert at much higher than like a real estate ad. I showed him, you know, a couple examples where I'm getting 52 to 55%. I'm like, dude, you solve this one problem. You get to a, you know, 50% conversion ratio, or at least a 25% conversion ratio. It solves everything. Yep. You know, right? Not to improve on those other things, but so many times we get caught up in all this other stuff and we're not focusing on the one thing that has the biggest impact. All right, so we got processes, systems, tracking. You do those right, that's going to lead to a lot of profit, which then that is going to lead to people. So people are not the most important thing inside your organization. Your systems and your processes are the most important thing, right? But people become massively critical, obviously, inside your organization. But the reason I say that, because, you know, if you reverse engineer this, like, people are, yeah, the most important thing. But the reality is you can hire the best, most badass, talented person, but if they don't have proven systems and processes to follow, to train them on and have them go out to follow, they're going to fail you, right? You're just wasting your time and failing them. But you do these things right, eventually it's going to lead to you hiring the right people that can follow the proven processes and systems. You can inspect what you expect from afar. You know, like, you know, I know, Grant, you work with a lot of, you know, top producing real estate agents that are, you know, becoming laptop millionaires as a real estate agent. That's how you become a laptop millionaire, where you can go sit on your beach, checking the systems and have your team operational. And I mean, I just got back. I was in Maui all last week. Right. And you can just run and operate it from anywhere. So, you know, that is really the key. And obviously when you get to the people component, you know, right, you got to really focus on leadership. And, you know, I learned this the hard way, but your ability to be a great real estate agent has nothing to do with your ability of being a great team leader and leading people. You know, and it's like, dude, we invest so much time, and energy on like lead gen and whatever, but we spend very little time on leadership and, you know.
Very little time on ourselves. Like, I tell people that all the time, like, your business actually has – success in business actually has very little to do with business. It's got everything to do with you. Like, if you're not in the right mindset, if you're not in the right understanding, if you're not in the right you know, point in your life to really just sit back and realize that you're the problem. Like, you, and you know, something I wrote down, you know, knowing your strengths, knowing that you're not a good CEO, the best thing in the world to understand yourself and be willing to set the ego aside, the pride aside, to say, like, I don't need to be the CEO. Like, I'm an owner. I don't need to be my business, because I am in business. And those are some just like major fire points, major distinctions that people just don't understand. And it is unbelievably baffling to me how few people actually use reporting mechanisms in their business. Like, I'm obsessed.
What do you use, man? What's your favorite one?
I like an Excel sheet. Like, it doesn't even like that. Like, literally, I have an Excel.
Oh, sheet. I thought you were referencing personality profile testing, like for the internal reflection.
No. I'm sorry. I was jumping a little bit. So I was talking about personal mastery, but you're talking about business mastery and data and reports and those different types of things. Like, it's just baffling to me how many people don't pay attention to those things. From a like understanding myself, for me, it's been a lot of trial and error. I haven't taken that many like archetype tests or anything like that. I don't know if I'm a high D or a double A or a triple C or whatever those different things mean. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. I know I'm an artist, a creator, an innovator. I love sitting back and watching new stuff come to light that was in my brain and now it exists in real life. But I know for a fact, I hate managing anything moving forward. I'm not a good manager at all. And I don't try to be, because I'm not. Like, I'm horrible. I'll jump into a business and I'll ruin it in 2 seconds just because I have my hands on it. You got to understand that about yourself. Got to employ systems. The last thing I wrote down was, systems don't fail, people do. And when you're spot on in everything you're saying. You put people into a system that is designed to exceed, they will succeed as long as they follow the system. You know that with your 90-day bootcamp. I know that with our training programs. I've been talking to people lately. It's like the most simple way I can explain it is, you know, have you ever put together a table or a desk or a kid's toy or a barbecue grill? It was probably easy because you had the instruction manual, right? Well, like, that's the only thing I have for you is an instruction manual. It's just like what you're talking about. You have an instruction manual. If you follow the manual, you will succeed. And if you do not, you won't. And it's not it's not necessarily the system's fault, even though we as real estate agents, or not we as real estate agents, but real estate agents have a tendency, and people have a tendency to figure out why they didn't succeed. well, surely it's not their own fault, but dude, every point you just dropped was fire. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Appreciate that, bro. Yeah. And, you know, those that are watching, listening to this, you know, I mean, I apologize, you know, cause I probably bored you a little bit there. Cause I know that Grant and I were talking off air and we were like talking about webinars and, you know, like everybody wants to talk about lead generation. And dude, I'm not saying leads are extremely important. I am a human being and all my businesses, the one thing I never stop doing is marketing. Even if I can't work the leads, I'd rather have, you know, like I am always gas on the accelerator. You know, my 13 years now of business, I've never stopped lead generating and I never will until, you know, my time is done on this planet, right? But at the end of the day, right, I mean, agents always think lead generation solves all problems, right? Like it solves, and no, dude, I don't know any agent that lead generation is their main problem, right? It's the ability to convert those leads into appointments, you know, and go throughout the funnel and, you know, all these other things that we talk about. So it's not the fun stuff, you know, it's diving into spreadsheets isn't the fun stuff, but one of my mentors, and you may have, you know, read some of his stuff, Grant, but his name's Ryan Blair, wrote Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, CEO of Visalis, $1 billion company. And you know, this dude, massive, massive player, right? Had my podcast and he's all telling me he makes like $36,000 an hour, 24/7, right? Fucker's only like 39 years old too. I mean, that's like 60 mil a month, you know, right? He's got this awesome saying, and this is just how he operates his life and his business, but the path isn't the math. You know, right? Numbers don't lie, you know, right? So it's like Jim Rohn said, man, I build out those spreadsheets so small for that number so you can't insert an excuse. The numbers don't lie, but we got to take the time. And the cool thing is, man, it's only, I don't know about you, Grant, but I mean, for me, it's a couple minutes a day, you know, right? It isn't that much time, but it's the only way you can truly make smart, strategic decisions inside your business and have a predictable business.
It's the only way. Like, you've got to obsess over data. I'm more obsessed over data than I am anything in my business because that's, it's what's going to help you win. Like, knowing that you sell a house every 238 you spend, there's not a more golden metric. Like, you have agents that are obsessed over, well, I want to make sure that I get my leads for, you know, $1.50 a lead. Like, why is that even important? That's not the metric. It's a guide. It's a guide to tell you whether or not your campaigns are maybe working the best or maybe not working the best. But the end all be all is that cost of acquisition metric that you have to know. Like, we teach agents, we had an agent, she spent, I think it was like $3,632 in marketing for an entire year. She sold 48 houses. I said, okay, what's your cost of acquisition? She's like, what's that? I was like, what do you mean? Like, what is 3,862 divided by 48? What's 41 or whatever the math works out to be? It's like, do you realize every time you spend $41, you sell a property? No. Like, look, if it's me, I'm going to spend $4,100 a day. And I'm going to sell as many properties as I can in a day because it's all math. Like it's no more complex than that.
You said some critical things there, dude. Cause I mean, I hear about it every day, you know, on Facebook and the groups that, you know, you and I have, whatever of, you know, oh, what's your cost per, like, people get so obsessed with cost per lead. Like, here's an example, you guys. I was doing a lot of Facebook ads for like, I'm in an area in Phoenix Metro where certain price points you can easily own for cheaper than you can rent. And there's a lot of bond programs, low down payment programs. So we were running a lot of stuff like, you know, own cheaper than you can rent, low down to zero down grant loan programs available. And I've generated 1 cent leads. You know, I mean, that's not common, but I mean, right, easily under a dollar, you know, just abundance. I mean, massive flow of leads coming in. But the amount of follow-up, the amount of credit repair, you know, it was like the 80-20 rule. I mean, we're spending 80% of our time chasing these lower priced, clients, yep, that had all these credit repair issues, right? Our cost per acquisition and our time involvement per acquisition, which we got to pay attention to as well, it was terrible, right? So, I mean, we pay way higher on a cost, I mean, probably 3 or 4 times, you know, right, as far as a cost per lead. But at certain price points, targeting very certain people, that we eliminate that. And also real estate, dude, it's the only business that nobody talks about the lifetime value of a customer.
Oh my God. Right?
This is something that, you know, I get a lot of heat on in this industry because, you know, I mean, Gary Keller put out the book, you know, right? The $1 million Listing Agent, which is a great book, right? I mean, I love Gary Keller. He's the most brilliant guy in real estate, hands down, right? I'm not with Keller Williams. I never have been, but what he's built, nobody's done what he has done, you know, right? But when he put out this book, You know, they talk about listings being the name of the game. And at that time, 20 years ago, yeah, listings, you had to have listings to have more control. I don't need listings. You know, I don't even do open houses on my own listings. I have a for sale by owner strategy. I go out there, do open house up for sale by owners, and I list them for sale by owner. Yeah, right. I don't need my own listings to generate leads now. Yeah, right. Like guys like Grant, she had to go out there, and you never need a listing for the rest of your life to go out there and sell leads. So they're more costly to go out there and obtain. And if you do this right, like on our team, our average buyer 5 homes, and we get them under contract. Right? So we treat our buyer consultation every bit as in-depth and strict as our listing consultation. So by the time I even get the professional photography back on a listing, I got these buyers under contract and we're on to the next, right? But then let's think, okay, so they're cheaper to acquire. You don't have all the commission objections, yeah, right? It's also very easy to tack on things like a transaction fee, which I do in addition to the commission and pass off to the seller, because sellers are typically paying the commissions, yeah, right? Like your quickest way to now money isn't more clients, it's increasing your value dollar per transaction, right? So, but then if you think about where does most of your repeat and referral business come from? Dude, 90%+ of the time it's buyers, right? So yeah, I mean, if you focus on sellers right now, yeah, you could be, it's a little bit more of an efficient use of your time because you can handle 75 listings, you can't handle 75 buyers. But if you think about the lifetime value of that customer, the repeat referral business, over the cost per acquisition, the lifetime value of them, and what's gonna come from that, dude, like buyers are where it is. So this is something that I made a big mistake with in my business. I used to be just like every other top team leader out there, you know, massive on sellers. You know, at one point in my business, like 85% all sellers, 15% buy side. And I left so much money on the table. So stupid. Now I'm very strategic on this, where I keep 60% of my business buy side and only allow, if those numbers skew, man, I get nervous, dude, right? And not that we're not going, I mean, we're listing 20 homes a week. I mean, we're listing a lot of homes, but we just really amp up, you know, on that buyer advertising, thinking long-term, right? And cool thing is with leverage, dude, yeah, you don't need to go out there and I can't handle 75 buyers, but I can go out there and get 75 showing agents and 75 mm-hmm. buyers agents, right? You can leverage this stuff out so easily.
Yeah. Dude, it's just gold. Everything you're talking about, it's absolute gold. We're kind of coming down to the end of our podcast here, and I kind of hate that, but it's dude, this show's been fire. So if you're listening to this, I hope that you've been able to retain some of the fire hose style information that's been coming out of this conversation. Everything that I've heard is just 100% fact. Like there's no arguing, there's no disputing. Processes, man, dude, it's something I hammer on every day. Like, do you honestly think Howard Schultz is sitting in the barista's ear teaching them how to make coffee when a customer orders? No, like that's just not how it works. You've got to build those systems and processes, and you've got to get obsessed over numbers. I obsess over numbers more than anything. I just absolutely obsess over the numbers because the data tells me how I need to make an adjustment. I want to make $1 million in a month. I've just got to reverse engineer a math. If I want to make $1 million in a day, I've just got to reverse engineer the math.
And let me ask you on that though. I don't mean to interrupt, but because you know, a lot of times people see like all the success you're creating today. And I don't know, you know, what you're like financially, but I know you're making 7, maybe even 8 figures a year. I mean, you're making a shit ton of money, right? So, but people see what you're doing now and they're like, oh, he's just wired different. Right. But you also had those failures. Were you always obsessed with the numbers, or did you obsess over them once you realized the power of them inside your business?
I obsessed over them after my first bankruptcy. That's really where I became obsessed with numbers. Cause like, look, I grew up, nobody taught me how to balance a checkbook. Didn't even know what the hell you were talking about until I was like 19. Just grew up with zero financial guidance. And so, you know, I had some great successes at a very young age, been self-employed since I was 19. But I had a ton of failure. Like, don't look at me in any way, shape, or form and think that I've had it all figured out. Young guy.
Well, the reason I want to bring that up, dude, is because people when you guys watch, like, please pay attention to this. Anytime you put somebody up on a pedestal, yes, all you're doing is giving yourself the permission to not go out there and do the work that you need to do to become great, right? That's, don't put anybody on a pedestal, right? Like, just like Grant, you're like, dude, me, when you, because people always say, oh, you're just wired different than me. Dude, I did not track my numbers. I didn't track shit for the first 5 years of my business, right? Mm-hmm. Even though all my coaches, all my mentors, you know, everybody was telling me to do it. I was like, nope, right? But it got to the point, and I remember it like it was yesterday, man. Again, I'm grinding. I made $780,000 net that year. I made a lot of money, but I was ready to quit. I had no life. I was so miserable. And at that point, I knew the only solution. There's only two solutions. Either I had to quit because I was going to die in my late 20s of a freaking heart attack, and my wife and kids were going to leave me. I was like sleeping at the office, right? Not because my wife's kicking me out of the house, because I was working that much. I three or four all-nighters a week. It was just go, 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 right? So it was either quit and leave the business or develop my system and process and finally listen to all the coaches and the mentors and the top producers that preach this. So don't give yourself this excuse of permission that I don't need to dial this stuff in. I'm not wired like, Josh and Grant. Like, we weren't either. We realized the importance of this, and you don't know your numbers intimately inside your business. And if you don't have world-class processes and systems, you're never going to have a successful business. So just start getting obsessed right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You could not be more accurate, dude. Like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went through a lot of failure to be sitting here at this table talking to you. I go through it every day. But that's the beautiful part of it, is like those failures are education and some of the best education I ever got. And I know that the same is true for you. And it's the same that is true for you. If you're sitting here listening to this right now and you're thinking like, oh yeah, I could do it, but I messed up. Like, that's fine. What you have to get over is that pride that's eating away at you, saying, I can't because of what this person will think or what that person will think. Like, think perceptive living is one of the biggest flaws in our society. If you sit back and look at how many decisions people make based on what other people are going to think, and that's an entirely different podcast, I think, yeah. But that's an entirely different show. But yeah, no, dude, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you jumping on here and dropping some bombs, because it's been a highly valuable podcast. I learned a lot. I got a page full of notes, that I take in any conversation with a high level guy like yourself. There's a lot that I have been blessed to learn from you. So I appreciate everything you do, man, and everything you put out. It's absolute gold. If somebody was trying to figure out, man, I like this Josh guy, how can I figure out where to connect with him? What is the best way for somebody to connect with you, do business with you, talk to you?
Yeah, I mean, the best place to go, you guys, is gsdmo.com, which is a podcast. I move a lot of other stuff on there too, but that's our main podcast kind of hub. We kind of led this off. Grant was on there about a year ago. Been at that. I think we've got like 600 episodes out there right now. And, a lot of top producing agents, but we have a lot of other top entrepreneurs in there. So we give you a lot of flavor of a lot of different things in there. A lot of different free webinar training on there. I've got 41 free a week or tips of coaching. So there's tons of free content on there, tons of podcast stuff, plus all my information's on there. So GSD Mode stands for Get Shit Done Mode, which is the name of the podcast. GSDmode.com, best place to go.
Perfect. You guys go check out the link. It's going to be dropped below the podcast. And if you need anything whatsoever, I know Josh is always out working to add value to anybody that's in his space. Josh, thanks again, man. I hope you have an epic rest of your day, and I appreciate you showing up.
Yeah, it was a massive honor. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you.